the weather made it an adventure, but we managed to skirt most of the really bad weather, and had a good time.
All right. Branson, Missouri.
Yeah, I got to see T. Graham Brown and got to meet him and talk to him for a little bit, and I think he took a liking to my wife, but, you know, he really got in a deep conversation with her, and hell of a guy. I really enjoyed him. He was he's got quite a background and good entertainer.
Wow.
So, yeah, it was fun. Something we haven't done really since we've known each other, just take off on a vacation that we took, you know, and that wasn't planned around anybody else's stuff.
Do you have an RV?
Well, I've got a travel trailer, and a rather nice one that it was an adventure getting it. I had the one I wanted, didn't get 2 years ago. I bought one, and it wasn't really what I wanted. The one I wanted wasn't available, and I found the one I really wanted in Yuma, Arizona last year, so I took my other one clear to Yuma and traded it off and brought this one back. So
is it a pull behind or
yeah,
a fifth wheel?
Yeah, and it's a tongue type pull behind, and I pull it behind a Cummins diesel Dodge, so it, you know, I didn't get real good mileage on this trip. We bucked wind I think we put a little over 2,000 miles on the pickup, and I think we bucked wind for 1,780 of them, you know.
Wow. Bob, what'd you write about this week?
Well, you know, I wrote a little bit about while we were in Branson. And I try to kind of stay in touch. It's a habit that I got into the last few years. And so I take my laptop and my iPad and my iPhone and all that stuff with me. And,
wow.
And
your wife doesn't care.
No, she has to have her Facebook connection. So,
okay. You know,
and she spends a lot more time there than I do, I'll guarantee you. But at any rate, I knew that they were going to implode the coal silo up in Somerset last week, and I didn't want to miss that. I really wanted to see it in person. There's something about explosions that I really like, you know. But the other part of that is it's kind of a passing of an era that it's in a way kind of sad, and especially I didn't grow up around coal miners, but I grew up around hard rock miners, and not a lot of difference. But I got to know a lot of these coal miners over the years when I was involved with the newspaper and with the High Country Shopper up in Paonia. And it really, really good, down-to-earth people, you know. And so I pulled up the video taken by a guy, can't even think of his name now, Lindsay, I think, but he's got a drone that he flies up there quite a bit. It upsets people now and then, but he took some great video of the collapse of that coal silo, and so I pulled it up and watched it, and it really kind of gave me a pang, something I didn't expect. You know, I wanted to watch it because I thought it'd be exciting, but while I was watching, I thought, you know, this is sad. This really is sad that this had to happen. It's a real symbol of what's happening. And so I pulled up the online version of one of the better-known environmental newspapers, and I was reading there, and they were celebrating it. Wow, it's about time, you know. Now, I knew all along that Oxbow probably wasn't going to reopen that mine up there after their thermal event that happened a few years ago, and they basically had to seal the mine off. I knew they weren't going to reopen that mine. But at the same time, I have a hard time understanding that the people celebrate the, I think, accelerated demise of the coal industry. I have no doubt in my mind that the coal industry would fade away. I think it probably would fade away on its own in the next few decades. I think they've done a heck of a job over the last several decades of cleaning things up and stuff. And the coal that comes out of the North Fork area up there in Somerset area is really, really clean coal. It's a real low sulfur coal. And it's often mixed with the other coals, the Appalachian coals and stuff, to bring down the sulfur levels. And I think that's a good thing. You know, I don't have a problem with reducing pollution and stuff, but I think it'll take a natural way of things, and people become, they've become very aware of smoke and, you know, smog and all that stuff over the years. So I think coal would have gone away, but I think it's wrong the way the current administration has pushed this to the point where it's an early demise. And on this website I was looking at, one man commented about it, and he said, boy, it's about time. He said, you know, I understand that there's coal miners that are upset about this, but, you know, they should have chosen a different occupation. And I thought, how crass can you get, you know? I wonder what he did for this last 25 years. I wonder how many times he turned on his light. I wonder how many tanks full of water he heated. I wonder how much energy he used over that 25 years that are thanks a lot to the extraction industries. And he's got no appreciation for that. He's got no appreciation for the fact that those coal mines up there in the North Fork are what kept the town of Paonia alive for years. You know, you can only have so many galleries and gift shops. The real money has to come from some type of an industry or some type of a bigger thing. And between agriculture and coal mine, Delta County, that's where their money came from. And when you look in the background of that and you see the money that's going to go away from the schools and the money that goes away from infrastructure, the tax money itself, the severance tax money itself, this is a big thing. And I think these people need to appreciate that rather than celebrate it. You know, and it just upset me. So that's what I wrote about, and it I tried to get some of it off my chest.
Well, it cost Hillary an election in last night.
Well, I hope it cost her one all along. But, you know, it's there's directly, just if we just look at the coal mines directly, there's 40,000 jobs going away because of the early closing of coal mines. Indirectly, that jumps up to almost 300,000. It's 280-some thousand jobs. So that's a serious thing.
Jobs that pay.
Yeah, these are not low-paying jobs.
Breadwinning salaries. Hello, good morning.
Hi, Ken.
Hello.
Hey, you know, talking about those coal mines and the government doing, putting all those regulations on everything, closing everything down, they're even after the farmers.
Oh, and, sure.
The farmers, too, are having a terrible time with the Obama administration.
Oh, this overregulation is nuts. And I'll tell you a sideline to this. Right now, the office, or they call it the Office of Surface Mining, Department of Surface Mining. I don't remember exactly what the name is. OSM. And right now, they're asking for more funding from Congress so they can do more regulating and more, you know. And I'm looking at it and I said, they're closing down mines. They have less to do. Why aren't they cutting back? You know, but instead what they're doing is coming up and asking for more funding so they can duplicate efforts that are done by the EPA and all these other regulatory bunches of garbage. So that's another sideline we have to look at. They're putting people out of work and then asking them to pay through the nose in the way of taxes to increase their budgets. It's
so they
wrong.
Can destroy more industries.
Yeah, it's wrong. It's just absolutely wrong.
Yeah.
They even want to end fossil fuels, which where we get our gasoline. They want everybody to go to electric cars.
Oh, sure. And yeah, they have to plug them in somewhere, too.
One thing after the other.
Yeah, yeah, it's crazy.
Thank you for the call.
Bye.
You see that miner hand Hillary a picture of his family? And
yeah. Yeah. You know, that's great. I tell you, I've seen some things this last week or so that just tickle me. There was a tow truck driver that refused to tow a gal's car because she had a Bernie sticker on the bumper. And his partner, evidently in the tow truck, videotaped a good part of this. And he looked and he said, oh, ma'am, I'm sorry. He said, you probably called the wrong people. I said, you got a Bernie sticker. You better call a government wrecker. I don't. He got in his tow truck and left. And, oh, they made a big thing on, you know, that several people reposted it and all that stuff. And I said, hooray for him.
The right to refuse service to anybody. Remember those signs?
Oh, yeah.
Hi, you're on with Bob Cox. Good morning.
Hey, you know, talking about these coal miners. The government, we're going to shut down the mines. We're going to take away your jobs, right?
Right.
But these people, this is where they live.
Yeah.
This is their country.
I don't understand it. It's just something.
You know what else? Here's another thing. This is exactly what we did to the Indians. We said, guys, got to go over. You got to move. We're going to make farmers out of you, right? Come on. See, them coal miners, they got a culture, too. You know what I mean? This is them jobs. Some of them jobs pay $80,000, $90,000, $100,000.
Oh, yeah.
They don't retrain you. Yeah. That means you got to move, right?
Well, and I talked to one young man, and he hasn't been in the coal mining deal for a long time. Yeah. He's in his mid-20s. So I talked to him, and he said, they put me out of work, and I pulled unemployment for a while. But he said, I went and got all the training, to be a coal miner.
Yeah.
And he said, so I go to the unemployment office, and I tell them, I'm here. I'm ready to go to work.
Yeah.
And they say, there's not many coal mining jobs. What else can you do? And he said, kind of fresh out of high school, I went and got all the training for coal mining. I don't know what else I'm qualified to do. And he goes down, whether he did it online or whatever, but anyway, he filled out his little paperwork. And they said, minimum wage is $8.25 an hour. So will you go to work for that? And he said, I hate to say no, but the fact of the matter is I have created a lifestyle that's well above $8.25 an hour. And it's going to really, really have an impact on my family and everything.
That's right.
But he said, yes, I will take the job, but I'm not guaranteeing you I can keep it. I don't know.
That's right. And another thing is, too, these jobs, they went from the grandfather to the father to the son. It was just like in a steel mill,
And if you look at what was happening when Tony Bear was up in this area, the grandfather of coal mining, so to speak, when he was mining, and what they've done in the way of reclamation, in the way of reducing pollution and stuff, it's amazing. These people do a good job.
And another thing, it destroys families. Because if you're going to make a living, that means you got to move. You got to go away someplace. And what does that do to the family and, pulling everything apart, destroying the whole way of life.
Yeah, it's pretty sad to watch. And
horrible, it really is. And I don't know, they come along with, with this solar and all that money wasted on that.
I just came across through Missouri and Kansas and these windmill farms that are out there, they're just, miles and miles of these things.
Yeah.
And I look and I say, now, wait a minute, here are people that are fighting. And in a lot of these places, you also see what I'll call the dinosaur pump, that's out there in the middle of nowhere, and it's this big Tyrannosaurus-looking thing that goes back and up and down and up and down pumping oil out.
Yeah.
Well, there's one of them, every 20 or 30 acres on a really big oil field, and the cows are mingling around them and doing all that stuff, but you don't see them. Yeah. You really don't see them. These windmills are huge.
And you know what? You can hear them before you see them.
Yeah, well, I don't...
How'd you like to live around one of those things? That noise level.
I've got an old friend's got a few of them on his place, and he likes to live when the checks are coming in, but he even says that it's not as lucrative as he thought it.
Well, they're simply props.
It's a horrible situation, and I don't know the answer, All right, I'll keep listening.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Those wind turbines, they're eagle killers.
and they're so big and ugly. We went through, and I can't remember what town it was, and someplace in Missouri went through, where they assemble these things, get them ready for assembly. And each section requires a semi-truck. Each blade of the propeller requires one semi, the oversized semi, to haul it. And then when they put the things up, they're just ugly. I can't imagine that's what their answers are.
I mean, do they even do anything? I mean, I think they're simply props.
They're generating electricity, but
they make us feel good.
Yeah.
I don't know if they generate a lot.
Not near what a good coal-fired plant will.
Good morning. You're on the radio. Hello.
Morning, Dan and Bob.
Hey.
How are you this morning, Bob? This is Bill Palmer.
Yeah, I recognize your voice, Bill. How you doing?
Good to hear you.
You too.
Good story about the silo. When they first started that belt line up on the silo.
Oh, man.
I was the first one that started that, to load coal on that belt.
Right.
And the Friday night before we got it started, I don't know if you ever walked up there. It was a pretty good walk. But I had the job of taking, I think it was either 12 or 15 5-gallon buckets of 90 weight grease to put in that gearbox.
Oh, and that driver up there?
Half hours.
Yeah. That's quite a machine in and of itself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I've loaded the train for 10 years.
Yeah, that's, that's all going away. And again, here's a case where it created a few temporary jobs, but they shipped in quite a bunch of people to tear that belt line out of there.
Oh, yeah.
And some of those guys are really, you know, but they've got no, and one of them told me this face-to-face. He said, it's a good-paying job, you know, tearing this stuff down and loading it up and shipping it off, and a lot of it's just going to scrap. But he said, I have to move all over the country to do that. I have no stability. You know, so.
Before we started that thing up, it wasn't quite finished. A guy fell off of that thing.
Oh, my.
A kid from Utah, and he's just ready to go home in 15 minutes. And I heard that his hip bones were up around his ears when he hit that ground.
Oh, geez. Ouch. Well,
I shifted with a guy for 2 years and loaded a lot of coal, and I used to have to change that light on top of that building. That was a hairy job. That wind was blowing.
I'll bet that was.
Hey, Mr. Palmer, did they pay you good?
Well, yeah. Well, we were union, and we got decent wages. We always thought we'd done. Then I ended up in taking care of the mine lights the last 8 years, but we had a good mine and just. Just like a family. Of course, I lived in Somerset for 20 years.
Yeah, yeah.
Good old town.
Well, and you lived there back when it was kind of a company-owned town, didn't you?
Oh, yeah. All company.
Yeah.
Utah Fuel. And
yeah.
Mitchell. And of course, our dads and all our buddies. And we was all raised up there. And it was a
I've got some good friends. You're among them, Bill.
Dude, knew all the railroad guys. They were great guys.
Oh, yeah.
But it was... Well, this whole Western Slope, we know we were all kind of family, so.
You bet.
But anyway, it's good to talk to you guys.
Yeah, Bill.
You do a good job.
Yeah, God bless you, man.
Thank you.
Thank you.
8:30, I got to hit the news. More with Bob Cox coming up. This is AM 580. By the way, yeah, Scott Tipton will be on this Friday.
Good.
And we'll pick it up with Tipton. You met Daryl Glenn yesterday?
Yes, I did.
How'd that go?
I think I'm more and more impressed with Daryl Glenn all the time. When he did what he did at the State Assembly and walked in there basically as an underdog and then dragged 70% of the delegates with him, I said, you know, this guy, I think he has what it takes. Now, I'm not totally sold and where I'm going to jump in his camp, start knocking on doors yet. But I think this guy does have what it takes. He's very good at what he does. And I think he shoots from the hip, you know, and I think just the citizen, the normal everyday citizen understands him when he talks to him. He doesn't talk down to anybody. He talks straight across the board to you. And then the other thing I was impressed with, he answers questions, and he answers them. And if he doesn't have an answer, he says, you know, I don't have an answer to that. It's something I need to look into, and maybe I should have looked into it a little more before I came here. But I will look into it, and I trust him to do that. So I was impressed with him.
It's a big jump from El Paso County Commissioner to U.S. Senator.
And that's the other thing that impresses me, though, is he's well-liked in the El Paso County area, in the Colorado Springs area and stuff. He's well-respected and a graduate of the Air Force Academy. And I found it interesting. One of the questions, and in fact, somebody asked it again last night, and I thought it was interesting because, you know, he says, well, I'm a graduate of the Air Force Academy. And then I see another thing where he says, well, I racked up $100,000 in student loans. And the question came, you know, those kind of things kind of grab at me and say, how's that? You know, I mean, so point blank, people have asked him, okay, the government paid for your education through the Air Force Academy. How did you rack up student loans? And he said, well, it wasn't hard. I decided to keep going to school. And he said, I came out of the Air Force Academy with an engineering degree, and I wanted to go to law school, and the engineering degree didn't do that for me. So I went and got an MBA, and then after an MBA, I decided I'm going to start funding my own education. I went through law school, and it was expensive. And explained it in really good terms. No apologies. He doesn't apologize for anything. He says, I'm a Christian. I don't apologize for it. I'm a conservative. I don't apologize for it. Let somebody else go out and apologize and try to take the edge off so they can get a little bit of this or a little bit of that. I'm not doing that. This is where I stand. If you like it, come with me. If you don't like it, I'm not going to apologize and try to change. So I was really impressed with that part of it.
What'd they have there? Was it just him shaking hands, glad?
Well, that, and he gave a short speech, and I don't know how many people were there, but I'm guessing probably 75 or 80, real easy. And these are all his supporters, not all of them, but a good portion of his supporters. This was put together by his campaign, not by the Republican Party. Mm-hmm. And so all the people there were either curious on, like I was, or were already in his camp, so to speak. So, I'm impressed with Ryan Frazier. I like Ryan Frazier. I like Blaha. But I'm really impressed with the fact that, especially in the cases of Frazier and Darrell Glenn, that they answer questions and they don't spin things, or they have it for me. And
well, so, part of that, Bob, is their candidates, you know.
Well, yeah, but candidates have gotten really good about spinning things and talking about the other candidate. You know, I went to a little school one time on how to be a candidate. I was jumped in for the political thing, and went to this little school. And they said, whatever you do, don't mention your opponent's name. Don't give him any free publicity. You know, just focus on yourself. Don't mention your opponent. I don't know. These people missed that school. You know, for the most part, they want to stand up and badmouth everybody else and not tell you what they're good for. And I don't like that kind of politics, and I never have. In fact, that's one of the problems I have with Trump is, shut up about everything. Tell us what you're doing and how you're going to do it and stuff like that, and I won't have a problem with it. Don't spend your time just disparaging everybody else. I don't care. Yeah.
Well, it's worked for
him. Oh, yeah. Hell, it's worked. I mean, can't deny that.
You're not a Trump guy yet?
I'll tell you this. I'm a Trump guy now.
Okay.
But I'm a Trump guy now because the alternative is bad. I was a Bush guy because the alternative was Al Gore. And when you look at the two of them, all the problems I had with Bush didn't compare to the problems I'd had with Al Gore. So I'm the same way now, and I think everybody needs to really get in there and make sure.
A lot of conservatives like you, Bob, they don't think. They think Donald Trump is even money.
Well,
with Hillary.
Well, and you see that, and that may well be the case. You know, Darrell Glenn said something interesting last night. He said, you know, if you have to put your thumb over that name and then mark your ballot, just do that. But mark your ballot all the way down this year. Mark your ballot for every conservative on there. And that guy on the top of the list, if you have to put your thumb over him before you mark it, do that. But do it. You know, get in there and let's make sure that the Michael Bennets and the Hillary Clintons and those people are not in there making decisions on appointing Supreme Court justices, on those kind of things, because that's where they're going to hurt us first. That's where they're going to hurt us. And then down the road, you're going to have at least four more years of exactly what we've got now.
And the problem with leftists, though, is they, man, if they had the majority and all well, on the Supreme Court, boy, you think they're nasty now.
Oh,
look out.
Oh, yeah. And the other thing about this is when you watch various news outlets and stuff, and you watch, and there's all this publicity. Boy, the Republican Party split, and they're ripped down the center, and they're doing this, and they're, you know, and everything's on. The Democrats have a worse problem right now than the Republicans do as far as split. They've got a man that's making their chosen candidate look like an idiot and doing a pretty good job of it, and he's an idiot. You know, so but look what he's done to her. Look, well, I mean,
he's more of a grassroots flake,
right,
as opposed,
that's right,
to a Sidney.
His ideas are just completely off the wall, and quite frankly, I don't think he'd make. I don't think he'd make 20% of them stick. You know, if he allows the Congress to be in there, and that's one of the other problems we've had, is we've had 8 years of a guy that says, I can do it without the Congress. And we're liable to have another 8 years of that if we're not careful. And that's not good.
What's scary about Hillary as opposed to Bernie is just her systematic corruption.
Oh, yeah.
With the Clinton Foundation.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I mean, they are smart. They are shrewd. They know how to play the game. And they know how to get over on you and me and them and everybody else. And if she wins, God have mercy on this country, oh, man. I don't care who you are.
Yeah.
She is an evil bitch, and we need to.
You know, I heard a better way to do that, Dan. A guy told me several years ago, he said, I won't call her names, but I know she'll come out from under the porch and bite you on the ankle.
She is. I mean, my liberal friends, and I don't have a lot of leftist friends, but the ones I have that are good friends, they hate Hillary.
Oh, yeah.
And they love Bernie.
Yeah. An old compadre of mine, I only stay in touch with him through social media anymore, and his political stuff is just way off the wall. You know, he and I have never agreed on the political spectrum. Our first clash was mock election in school, where I was Barry Goldwater's campaign manager for this mock election, and my friend was on the other side. And so, you know, we've never gotten along with it. But you got to see the vitriol that he throws out about Hillary. And he hasn't really said, I'm a Bernie supporter or anything, but and I said, wow, it's amazing.
Did you hear about Azealia Banks?
Oh, yeah.
I think that's happening a lot. I think similar people are tired of Hillary pandering to them.
Yeah.
And using black people to their advantage. And, you know, Democrats, they just assume black people are in their hip pocket.
Well, and
that's pretty racist in general.
I keep looking for that epiphany. You know, that day when they wake up and say, no, wait a minute. These people have promised us A, B, C, and D, and all we've got is Z. You know, and all they're doing is pandering. They're out there saying, well, you know, look what we've always intended to do. And they'll say, oh, man, isn't that cool? They intended to do this, and they intended to do that. But they don't seem to care about what the accomplishments are. And the accomplishments, this nation right now is more racially divided than it was in the 60s in a lot of areas. And it's thanks to what's happened the last 8 years. And the people, they seem to just kind of float over top of that and say, well, but their intentions were good. You know, I don't understand it.
So head-to-head, I think Trump would crush Hillary.
Well, I hope so.
But mark my words, Bob, put it in stone, the neocons and the progressives will collude and put up some token candidate.
I don't think they're going to do that.
Peel away votes from Donald Trump.
I'll buy you breakfast. I don't think they're going to do that. I think that
Billy Crystal is working right now.
Yeah, well.
Not the comedian. I'm talking about the loser who his dad is the head of neoconservatism.
The
former Bolshevik.
The other comedian.
Hello. Good morning.
Good morning. How in the world are you?
I'm good in the world and any place else I go.
How are you?
Pretty good. Hey, Bob, I got a couple of questions for you. You mentioned that you were something about Barry Goldwater's campaign manager?
Well, yeah, it was a mock election when I was in school. This is back in the 60s. And I still have one of the bumper stickers. It's AUH2O. Figure that one out. Look that up in your Funkin' Wagnalls.
Hey, I got some political buttons from Bill Edmondson. You know, he was a professor in Western State College for years.
Oh, I knew Bill real well. I spent many hours sitting and talking to the professor.
But he was the one that got me started collecting political memorabilia.
Oh, yeah, he was good at it, too. He had a little memorabilia of about everything. I mean, he had a record collection, Knock Your Socks Off, a lot of people didn't know about.
Oh, yeah, and I went to his office once and asked him how he got started, and he threw three or four buttons out. He had them in his desk drawer, threw them across his desk, and says, "You're started."
Yeah, there you go.
Anyway, he gave me a button that says, "I'm for Barry Goldwater for Vice President." When was that?
I can't answer that question right now. It was probably 4 years before he ran, maybe, or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
Under Ike?
You know, there was still, back in the day, there were still pushes to elect, and it's still there. I mean, the vice presidential candidate is on the ballot. You could technically vote for different people.
It used to be a big run, even at the convention.
Oh, yeah.
They would be running for it. He told me that he'd got a can of gold water, which was like ale or something, and it was so hot there at the convention, he went ahead and drank it, went down the next morning to get another one, and they were gone.
Yeah. Yeah, that was quite a deal. His campaign, I wrote a letter to him when I was in high school and this thing was going on, and I wrote a letter to him and said, you know, I'd like to have some stuff, you know. And, of course, this is way before all the computers and everything else, and so I got this manila envelope in the mail, and it had buttons and banners and the bumper stickers, and I wish I'd have kept more of it, but I do have one of the bumper stickers, and it's been folded so many times it would not sell as a collector's item now, but it's AUH2O.
Wally Smith, his dad knew Barry Goldwater, and I got a Zippo lighter, brand new in the box, from him with Barry. Hey, the other question I have, I know Cindy Antler's your flag ceremony.
Right, right.
It said it's Saturday the
12th. Yeah, and I tried to get them to correct that, but they can't. I think somebody was looking at the wrong page. It will be Saturday. But it's not ones. Saturday the 12th. Is that what it said?
It said Saturday the 12th.
Yeah.
And it should be. Sunday's the 12th.
Yeah, Saturday would be the 11th, but it will be a Saturday, the 11th day of June. Flag Day is Tuesday the 14th.
Okay.
So that is erroneous, and I'm glad you brought it up because, and I did try to get that corrected, but evidently it was too late or something by the time I knew it. And there's going to be some other changes, I think. In fact, I'm thinking seriously about moving it indoors because I've started developing a little program that I'd really like to put on, and we may move it indoors just for the convenience of that. So it'll be little changes, but there will be a Flag Day ceremony, and I'll tell you what, if nothing else, while we're on that subject, you know, bring your kids out because the history of the American flag in a lot of cases is erroneous in the first place, you know, but I've got a history of the American flag that is really fun. The sub-teen people need to know, and it's got a lot of trivial stuff in it that is not part of the Elks presentation that I've put in myself, and it's been fun to put together, and I've been kind of looking for an opportunity to present it, but it'll take a PowerPoint and that kind of thing, and a little difficult to do outside. So we may move it inside, but we're still in the planning process, but it will be Saturday, June the 12th.
11th. Yeah, well, speaking of June, our car show is going to be June 3rd and 4th.
All right. You got the flyers out for that?
Yeah, I hope it don't rain like it did last year. I'm looking for some automotive-type vendors. They can call me at 249-5797 if need be.
All right.
Okay.
Hey, Floyd, someone's driving around Montrose in a Trans Am that says Daytona 500 pace car.
Yeah.
Who is that dude?
I don't know. I see there's been other ones, too.
Those were limited edition stuff that were put out. You could buy one, and they were – that Trans Am that one year was an official pace car. But the one that's driving around town is probably not the one that was in
Well, there. Right, right.
It's a – yeah, production.
It's Trans Am with T-taps.
There's been other people with those pace cars in town, too, and I've not known. I haven't talked to them. They haven't come to any of our cruises. Our Friday night cruise at Arby's.
I'm going to have to come to one of your cruises one of these days, but I'd have to bring my 68 Jeep Commando. Is that okay?
Yeah. You can bring your 2016 if you want to.
I do, what? 2016?
Hey, Floyd, it's this Friday night at Arby's?
Yep, this Friday at Arby's. In the Carboys and Engines, our little paper thing, it's 6 to 9, but people get there by 5 or even before, and usually they're leaving 7, 8 o'clock, but depending on the weather and depending on what the people that come and all that, so.
Right. All right. Hey, I got to run. Thank you, Floyd.
All righty. Hey, if you got any Barry Goldwater stuff extra, Bob,
okay, I'll keep you in mind.
All right.
Alrighty,
I'll fill a box full of something for you.
So long. I think I have a Goldwater Miller button.
Do we have time for one quick story?
Sure.
I got, you know, he brought
minute
up
and a half.
Bill Edmondson, who was a professor of history at Western State College. Mm-hmm. And I used to go over to Western State when I was a senior in high school.
Let me kill the music here. Hang on one second.
But I'd type term papers for the college people over there, and I'd sneak into Edmondson's class. I'd sneak in the back part and listen to his class, and I got to know him real well over the years, and he was a member of the Elks Lodge out here. And he used to have this thing. He'd come in, he'd have his fist holding something, and he'd say, "I have my life savings here, and it's yours if you can answer this question." And he'd do that to a lot of his students, and he'd come up with just true. The guy knew every baseball statistic there was forever and ever and ever. I think he coached the last lacrosse team that was at Western State years ago. And if you ever have a chance to talk to Larry Newland about him, you know, do that. But the guy was amazing. He had facts in his brain that were just great.
I got to leave it there, Bob. Thank you so much. See you next week.
I'll do that.
KUBC Montrose. Bye-bye. News is next from ABC and then AgriTalk.